But I was just thinking too, as Jody was talking, how hearing God is a very challenging thing. How can I put it? It's, you know, for number one, some people think if you hear from God that you're insane. You know, that you're a lunatic if you think that you hear from God. And yet, you know, and even a lot of Christians don't believe that you can have a very close and intimate relationship with God. And in some ways, the older I get, I mean, that was something that was very vital in my life early on, is Lord, I read all your stories, I've heard all the stories in the Bible. You know, we get into we grew up in a church and we covered a lot of Bible, a lot, and, you know, growing up with all that, I just said, man, this is all wonderful, but I said, I want a relationship with you. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I don't want to just repeat somebody else's miracles. I mean, I appreciate all that, but Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to know you. I want to walk in your power. And then even back then in those days, I got accused of some things by people of being, a little out there, because I did talk about the Lord talking to me. And as time went on, I go, man, you know, if you really read the scriptures and you get pick up the heart of God, how could a God that created us to be family not want to be in communication with us? Now, it just doesn't make any sense at all that he's just somebody out there that we can't really contact and doesn't really, you know us. And anyway, I'm a little saltier than I was when I was young, but I'm still just saying, man, it's a great walk to walk with God. And yet, what a walk it is to continue to grow in it and not just say, I know it and I got it. I just heard from some new people are here, Ray and Esther. And just after, you know, I've been really pretty intense with the Lord for 60 years. And yet it's just, wow, it's just like there's so much we don't know about him. There's so much that he is, and he does so many things. He's just such a wonderful God. And there's just so much to learn. So I was just thinking about a joyful father. For me, one of the things that I really get blessed when I see a father and daughter, father and son, mother, you know, just parents with their kids having a joyful time. It's just a really sweet thing when you see somebody, you know, in the park or doing something and they're just having a joyful time and they're really enjoying each other. And I think about that, how we've talked about so much, but your whole life basically is going to be founded on your perception of who God is. Whether you're atheist, agnostic, whatever you're Hindu, whatever, you live out your daily life. The foundation of all your activities and all your thinking basically come down to your perception of who God is. And I won't go into that in depth right now, but it's just how important it is to see God properly and to see him as a joyful father. We are sharing this week with a lot of different people, but, you know, part of what happened, in the most conversations, most of the days, is people just saying, you know, hey, how can people be so evil? If God is good and he created us in his image, how can people be so evil? And there are some really, really evil stuff that always has gone on and is going on now. And it really does tax me sometimes when I knowing some of the stories, you know, we hear a lot in the news, but I don't know why, but it just, the thought hit me, the gal we worked with in the Philippines the first time, Maya, you know, that we had some Japanese people going to come over and help us. Anyway, it brought up some stories, but her grandmother during the war, the Japanese came in and buried her alive up to her neck in sand and left her there, you know, until she died. And it's like, how do you do that? How do you not, you know, how can this wonderful heart that can be a child of God and be so full of love, how can it also become, be so evil? And those things challenge a lot of people who really say, I don't want to believe in a God that allows this kind of stuff to happen. That's a big question for a lot of people, for probably all of us. And so the extreme, we're jumping on the other side. How do you, God who sees all things all the time, how can he be a joyful father right now? How can our Father God be a joyful father, knowing all that he knows and seeing how far mankind has walked away from him? And yet, he is. He's a joyful father. He's the God of joy. He's the God of hope. I believe when we get there, we're going to find out I don't know why, but boy, I tell you, most people just see him as an old man that's kind of grumpy, checking out the boxes, right? But to see God as just a joyful, fun-loving, hopeful, excited, anticipating the future, it's a heck of a picture to try to picture, in my mind anyway. And I have to take time sometimes just to see fathers that are excited about their children and excited about life, and see people that are just excited about life, and then just say that they're getting that from the source of life. You know, we can argue a lot about gods and who, whatever, but really the bottom line is, where is your source coming from? Where is your source of life? And God is life. And there's nothing anybody can do about that. That's just the way it is. If we can come up with arguments and we can have all our different religions and all that kind of stuff, but ultimately the truth is there is a creator that created us in his image. And he loves us, and he has a plan for us to be with him, and he is our source in everything. So, my next word I got down here in my notes is help. You know, one of the greatest things you can say is help, because we all need help. I was just talking to my chiropractor, and he's working diligently to help me, and he's really a great believer and a great encourager to me and a lot of you. And so he was working on me. He said, man, he said, John, he said, you're moving. You're not calcified up to the point where your vertebrae aren't moving. That's most people your age are locked in. He said, we got hope. And he said, but he kind of just said something like, but we're all broken. And we all need a Savior. I go, he said, oh, that might be your message for Sunday. So I said, okay, I'll take it. We really are all broken. We really are. We really do need a Savior. So I want to read a few scriptures to you. Let's talk about, first of all, being broken just for a little bit. We are, when you come to the words righteous and unrighteous, we've talked about this, but unrighteousness is when you're not the way you should be. And righteousness is when you are the way you should be. And the master designer designed us a little lower than himself to be like him and to be in his image and to be the way we should be. And the way we should be is full of life, full of joys, full of wisdom, full of power, full of authority, enjoying, creating, and mastering life. That's righteousness. That's the way we should be. And of course, when Adam sinned, unrighteousness came in, we're the way we shouldn't be. And so when you see people doing wrong and see people being evil, they're unrighteous, which means they're not the way God created them to be. And for some people, it's just like, well, why didn't he just fix them? You know? And some people want to say, well, God, you at least need to put limits on people that they can only go so far. Well, to me, what's amazing is God actually just says, he said, I created you a little lower than me. And to restrain you from having the authority and the privilege and the right to choose your path would be I'd have to destroy my creation. I'd have to go totally against what I planned. I'd have to break my own word. You know, people just say, man, God, come on through and just fix this thing, you know. And there's a place for power to pray. But if your idea is he could do whatever he wanted to, If he did contrary to what his heart put out, contrary to what his word is, he would destroy himself. You know, you and I, we can get real sloppy. God can't. He's holy. He's right on. He doesn't have any slack. He has no darkness. He has, you know, I was just reading again in James. It's a good thing to read once in a while. It says, man, don't say that God tempted you, because God can't tempt you with sin, because he's not tempted by sin, and he does not tempt you with sin. He does not put you through evil things. He is perfect and he is holy, and he has to remain that way. And that's where most people just have a real struggle with this. Well, he could do whatever he wanted to. No, he can't. He has limited himself to keep his word. He's been honest and truthful. And when he said, I've given you authority, he gave us the authority. He gave it to us. He didn't jerk it back. Mankind in general has taken that authority and done unrighteous things. Didn't do what was right, to love one another, encourage one another. He used it to dominate people and to destroy people. And that's why we needed a Savior. And that's why Jesus came. And we need a Savior. Amen? And we're going to need him forever. Because as wonderful as we are, we still have to have a source of life. And he is our source. And he will be our source forever. I want to read to you out of, let me read this. You know the scripture that says, even when we're faithless, he is faithful. We were just fellowshipping the other day, and he said, what does that mean to you, John? And I thought, here's something that Joey's talking about, saying this. You know, when you're trying to hear the voice of the Lord, it's not always you're going to hear words. In fact, very seldom. You're going to feel things. You're going to have thoughts. But even when Jesus walked on the earth and he was a perfect representation of the Father, there's so many times when they came to him and asked him a question, he responded by asking them a question. And he's still doing that. How he communicates with us a lot is by asking us things and having us dig deep into our heart and think and use these brains that we have to think, okay, what does that really mean? You know, a lot of us, we want to do what we did in grade school, just have the teacher tell us the right answer, write it down, and not think. You know, that's not learning. I hope I'm not overbearing this, but it's just like, he is so wonderful that he allows us to be in his image. He allows us to grow. He allows us to process. He allows us to take in information, digest it, and look at it. He allows us to grow in these processes. He just is not just like the teacher that's lazy and that just says, here's the right answer. That's the way I was. A kid would ask me, what's the, and I don't think we'd be working this math problem and just struggling. And then, you know, that's why I didn't teach in our school much, because I was a bad teacher. Because I just say, oh, here, the answer's 5. And walk off. It's like, that's not a good teacher. He's a good teacher. He lets us grow in this whole process. We just want instantaneous answers. He asks us questions. And so he asked me the other day, he said, what does that mean to you when I said that I'll be faithful even when you're faithless? And it's a good question you want to ask yourself and just think about that this next week. What's it mean when he says, I will remain faithful to you all the days of your life, even if you're faithless? In the very beginning, God created man and said, he said to Adam, he said, you need a helper. My wife says this, I don't know, she's probably more right than wrong. I'm probably more wrong than right. But she always says, you just never ask for help. I think I ask for help a lot. But but in a lot of situations, no, I don't ask for help. Enrico and I are both kind of the same. We just soon go work by ourselves and figure it out. But I do ask for help a lot from the Lord. And I was just thinking about, you know, he created, very beginning, he said, Adam, you need a helper. And that's just a good thing for us to think about. You and I need helpers. We just need helpers. Let me read some scriptures. Psalm 72:12 says this, for he will deliver the needy when he cries for help. There is a requirement, by the way, if you don't cry for help, the helper can't help. John Williamson needs to listen to that. For he will deliver the needy when he cries for help, the afflicted also, and him who has no helper, and him who has no helper. Psalms 54:4 says this, behold, God is my helper, the Lord is the sustainer of my soul. So even back, all the way through, he's saying, you guys need help. I've created you in my image, but you need help. You know, in some ways, the Lord needs help. He needs us to be his voice. He needs us to be his body here on the earth. Jesus said, I'm going to heaven. I can't be down here anymore. I'm going to send the Spirit of God, and he's going to be your what? Helper. So that word that he says is parakletos. It's one that comes alongside to help. So it's not just, he doesn't just take over. You got to be doing something. He's going to come alongside and help. That's the word parakletos to describe the Holy Spirit. It also means he's your advocate. He's like an attorney. He goes to in court and presents your case for you. It's an awesome thing to realize how much we need a helper and how the Spirit of God is our helper. So I'll read some of those scriptures. John 14:16 says that Jesus said this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Isn't it interesting that it's one God, but here's Jesus presenting to the Father, and he asks the Father, he says, hey, I'm asking you to send the Holy Spirit as a helper to me. And the Father joyfully says, I'm with you. Isn't it cool that they're in agreement? You know, as a kid, I always had this thing of inclusion. You know, I gathered up all the teddy bears from all my other brothers and sisters for some reason. I'm not sure why. I haven't figured that one out. But I kind of liked all them. And I gathered them up, and I lived, you know, we had my brother and I and sister, we lived in an attic kind of our house, in little cubby holes, you know, six kids in a small house. And so I had this little cubby hole, but I'd gather all these up, and then I'd put them all on a bed, and if one fell off, I felt really bad. And so I'd go get it, and, you know, and I remember a couple nights, I put all the critters, you know, that I had on bed, and I slept on the floor. I look back and say, that was really stupid. You know, I'm going to include everybody. And so when I'd pray sometimes, I'd say, you know, oh, Jesus, and I go, let's see. No, I'm supposed to ask the Father in Jesus' name. And so I back up and say, oh, excuse me, Father in Jesus' name. You know, and then sometimes I say, Holy Spirit, and I go, oh, I'm not supposed to talk to the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you grew up anything. I got a little confused there. Finally, one day, the Father just said, I felt like God just said, we're all in agreement. We don't really care which one of us you call first. You know, then people get real technical about that. He just says, we're in a unity. I think it's really important. At least see the picture that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're having a ball together. They have a joyful time. The Bible describes, Jesus as wisdom in Proverbs, that he was delighting when they're creating the earth and having a whole lot of fun. And so I think it's good for us to kind of see the Holy Spirit that way. And how Jesus said, I'm asking the Father, and the Father's going to send you a helper. He's going to send you the Parakletos, and he's going to be with you forever. Isn't it wonderful that even after we leave this earth, he's with us forever? Now, I know some people, they just don't, you know that. Some of us got kicked out of the churches because we talk too much about the Holy Spirit. And some people don't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make any sense when Jesus said, listen, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be your helper. And then we go, I don't want nothing to do with him. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Sometimes people just need to read your Bible. He'll be with you forever. John 14:26 says this, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Boy, do I need help being put in remembrance. Just like this morning, talking about the baptism, you know, it's like, I don't know, I just need a lot of help being put in remembrance. There's so much I've learned. I've read books, I've listened, I've studied, I've done all that, and man, I can forget that stuff. And isn't it wonderful that you have a helper that will remind you of things that you know? I tell the story many times, but it's a good one. Missionaries down in Guatemala, the guy had been going down there for quite a few years in the 70s and seen the power of God work. He was a very gutsy guy. He finally takes his family down to Guatemala, you know, first time, and they're traveling up through the woods, through the mountains, and this is when the communist guerrillas were in power, had power. He's driving through, and all of a sudden they get pulled over by this, you know, a bunch of communist guerrillas, and they got submachine guns. They stop their little Jeep and said, "Get out of the Jeep." They get out of the Jeep. And they, long story short, they robbed them. They took everything they had. And they got them all kneeling down on the floor, on the ground with their heads down, you know. And so the husband and wife, and I think they had two or three kids. And the husband, you know, I mean, the missionary knew Spanish, so he knew what they were saying. And the head commander, he actually knew the guy's name and heard about him. That he was a bad guy and had a reputation. And one of the workers said, "Sure, what shall we do with him?" And he said, "Kill him." And so he sent the missionaries there, you know, kneeling down on the ground, you know, with his family. And he's just thinking, this is a real gutsy guy full of faith. Just really been a powerful man of God. He said, "Well, at least we'll all go together as a family." And his son leans over to him, you know, his son about 10 or 12 leans over to him. "Hey, Dad." "Yeah, son." "Would this be a good time to use the name of Jesus?" I love this story. Because it's just the real deal. We have the name of Jesus, but we have a helper, but if we don't cry out for help, it's important. And he sat there and he goes, you know, and he just said, "Wow, yeah, son, this would be a good time if you use the name of Jesus." So he whispered to him, he said to his family, just, and he's listening to these guys are ready to mow him down. And he just says, "Let's start whispering the name of Jesus." So they just said, "In the name of Jesus, God, deliver us." And all of a sudden the faith came into him, and then all of a sudden he sat up and he just said, "In the name of Jesus, you will not heal us." And he said, he got stood up, and these guys started pulling their triggers, and they start shaking, and they could not pull the triggers on the guns. They were looking at their guns. They were looking at, he said, they started freaking out. They could not. They would literally start shaking. And then he said, "Man," then he got real bold. He said, "Give me my watch. Give me my billfold. Give me my jewelry. Give me this." And, you know, and got in the Jeep and was took off. Slammed on the brakes, backed up, came back. Walked up to the leader and said, "Here, I want to give you this watch. I wanted to remind you that you met people of God," and then drove off. Now, seriously, we don't know, but what if the son hadn't said, "Dad, would this be a good time to use the name of Jesus?" I think this is the reality that can really get to us. Do you mean to tell me that just because you forgot to use the name of Jesus, you all went to heaven in one moment like that? I think that's very possible. Don't you? Well, why didn't God just do? Well, why doesn't God just do everything for us? Because we're in His image. And He said, "I'm going to give you the power, and I'm going to give you the choice, and I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to train you." What do you teach and train somebody if you're always going to do their work? It doesn't make any sense for us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God if everything is just, well, whatever God wants to do, He's going to do. That doesn't make any sense. He's doing what He wants to do. He wants us to be in His image. He wants us to be righteous. He wants us to be the way we're supposed to be. And He wants us to walk in power. He wants us to walk in authority. He wants us to use the weapons of our right hand and our left hand. He wants us to hear His voice. He wants us to declare the glory of God. He wants us to preach this gospel and deliver the sick and heal the blind and save people. He wants all that. If He just wanted to do that without us, He could have done that easily. He chose His way, and he's going to stick to it. And thank God we've got a Holy Spirit that will remind us of some of the most basic things that you and I know. He's the helper. John 15:26, "But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. I'll read you out of Hebrews now. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by the men of old God gained approval. You know, what is faith? Faith is the foundation of things that we're hoping about, that we're believing for. It's like we build it on this foundation of faith. It's a substance. It's a real deal. It's something. What's the opposite of faith? Part of it is it's the foundation of things that we're hoping for, those good things, and it's the convincing or the persuasion of things not seen. You know, one of the ways you know if you're in faith or not is if you can see it. If you can see it, you're not in faith. I mean, if you can see it, let's put it this way. If you're basing your life on what you can see and hear in the natural, you're not in faith. Faith is always looking into the unseen. It's always building on things that can't be seen by the human eye. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us to grow in faith. I'll talk more about that on another day. 2 Corinthians 4 says this, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying. You know, some people think that if you believe in God, you'll never get sick and you'll never have a battle and you'll never, struggle. And that's not what the Bible says. It says, therefore, do not lose heart. That means we could lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For the momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we are not looking at the things which are, but the things which are not. I was just sharing with my sister, I said, with all the information we got coming and all the reports of all the evil in the world, most people think the world is right now as evil as it's ever been, and actually that's not true. A lot of people think that because it's so evil, they're thinking, all the weather's so crazy that Jesus must be coming soon, and I would challenge that. The world's always been crazy. The weather's always been erratic. Major changes have happened through history. Evil people have been evil forever. Actually, according to a lot of statistics right now, it's the least amount of genocide. We have an awful lot of Christians being martyred. And so the numbers are way up because we have billions of people now instead of millions of people on the earth. But overall, things are better. And even locally, a lot of times, I've been just watching people. There's a lot of good parents. There's a lot of lousy parents, but there's a lot of good parents. But if we're going to have an impact in this world today, we're going to have to do it by faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, things not seen. We have to keep looking into the unseen realm. The seen realm looks like disaster to me, and it looks like it's inevitable that we're going to go down, but the unseen realm says, to God be the glory. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to save people. He came to deliver people. He came to make the unrighteous. He came to make the sick healthy. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the unrighteous. He's still doing what he did from the very beginning, and now we're part of that. And now the question is, will we ask him for help? Will we cry for help? Will we use the name of Jesus? Will we use the authority he's given to us? Or will we just look at the natural and lose heart? Hebrews 13 says this, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Somebody's talking the other day. I get this all the time. And maybe I need more help than I know. But a lot of people try to help me. They always say, hey, you can do this and make money. Hey, you can do this and, you can make, I go, man, if I wanted to make money, I'd be doing something else. I mean, I'm not opposed to money, don't get me wrong. But if I just wanted to make money, there's a lot of things I have an opportunity to do, but If I put that much energy into that, I wouldn't be able to do what God has asked me to do, which is have my free time just to be interrupted by people. And to love on them and listen to them. Make sure your character is free from the love of money. It surely doesn't say make sure your character is free of money. God is not a poverty God. He is a God that says, I'll bless you, I'll bless you, I'll bless you, I'll bless you, I'll give you wisdom, I'll give you understanding, I'll cause you to multiply, I'll cause you to increase. Man, he is all for going forward in an awesome way. But he just said, make sure you don't love it. Because whatever you love, you're going to worship that. And you're going to, you all know that. I'm just talking to people on the internet that don't know this. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. And so we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? You know, even in trying to rebuild the church, or not trying, we're going to rebuild the church. I think, yeah, I won't go there. But if you don't understand, but if we don't rebuild the church, it saves the insurance company a ton of money. And it's not that I'm against them. I'm just not trying to save them a ton of money. We're rebuilding. But I will say this. These numbers are a lot bigger than when we started. It's just strange. Even the last 2 years, it's just strange how, somebody said, well, I bet it's just going to cost you 2 or 3 times more than what it got. Whoa, man, we're looking more like 10 times. It's just monopoly money. I mean, it's just paper people print on. Don't get too excited about it. But every once in a while, this old conservative boy goes, what? How much? You know, and when we built the church and started, I'm trying not to tell this too much, but I don't think it's a good example, but pretty much did it off my credit cards for years. And I don't recommend that. But I can tell you, at this point in my life, I really don't want to do that again. But he said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. I'll be faithful when you're faithless. When you're messing up, I'm still your helper. Cry out for help. And a lot of times I really do. I just get out of the garden and go, help! And sometimes it's big things, and sometimes it's just the littlest thing. Sometimes it's just like, I forget, but then I'll be working on something I can't figure it out. And I tell you, it works so much. I mean, it works. I just go, Holy Spirit, I need some help. And the answer will come. Above everything else that you're doing in life, I encourage you, live a life of daily utilizing the helper. That's what he's there for. He wants to help us in every big thing, every little thing. He has nothing else to do but obey the Father and the Son. He's, think about the Holy Spirit. He's all powerful. He's all wisdom. He's all there. Everything of God's inside him, and he's inside of us just wanting to live, wanting to expand. And so often we're rejecting it because we don't feel worthy, or we got the pride of life where I'll do it my way. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have had the pride of life like me that just said, I'd rather do it myself. My way. As you get older, you realize, my way is no way. If I don't have a source, I have no life. He is my source. He's your source. Praise God. Father, I want to just worship you right now with these people. We want to just turn our eyes towards you and say, help us to see into the unseen more than we've ever done before. You've brought us this far. You've been faithful to us this far. And you've done so many wonderful things in each one of our lives. You've saved us. You've delivered us. You made us righteous. You made us holy. And we're powerful. We're awesome. And we'll forever be that way. We'll never die. We thank you for all that stuff. But Father, while we're here on earth, help. Paracletos, help. Help us not to forget that you're always beside us, always inside us, always carrying the load with us, always teaching us, always showing us things to come, always guiding us, never forsaking us, always wanting us to increase, always wanting us to be the light of the world, to shine forth and bring this messed up world, to bring the gospel, the good news to it, to where people's come out of death and come into life. We're not through. Help us not to forget who we are, who you are, and what we have the privilege of doing while we're still in these frail bodies, being renewed by the Spirit of God. Help. We cry. And we give you praise. Amen. Amen. Well, let help become a real vital word in your vocabulary, okay? God bless you.